From coast to coast, all across the United States and Canada, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we move into what has been described as post-Christian America, it is increasingly important, critical, crucial for Christians to know what they believe as well as why they believe it. The Apostle Peter put it this way: always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and with respect. Apologetics is the defense of the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. The word apologetics is derived from apologia. It's Greek and means a reasoned defense. It involves providing an answer, not an apology, but an answer. Just as good attorneys defend their clients in courts of law by presenting solid evidence and sound reasoning, so too, apologists defend the truth of Christianity through well-reasoned answers to the questions of skeptics and seekers alike. Apologetics is pre-evangelism. As such, apologetics is the handmaiden to evangelism. It's using our logical answers as springboards or opportunities to share the good news of the gospel. The Christian faith is never blind faith. It's always faith that is firmly rooted in history and evidence. But apologetics is also post-evangelism. In the swirling waves of doubt and despair that so often threaten to submerge our faith, it is absolutely crucial to be familiar with the pillars or posts of your faith. God created the universe. Jesus Christ is God and demonstrated that He is God through the immutable fact of resurrection, and the Bible is demonstrably divine rather than merely human in origin. That, in a nutshell, is what apologetics is all about. And if you, as a listener, are looking for a truly rewarding experience, try becoming an apologist. That is precisely what Perseus Poku, who joins me now on air, did many years ago. He became an apologist. He saw the need, he met the need, and in the process has been richly rewarded, not just as an individual, but as a member of a church that is making a difference for both time and, more importantly, for eternity. He joins me now, Perseus Poku. Nice having you on the broadcast.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's good to hear your voice.
Likewise.
You are a full-time staff minister at St. Paul's Baptist Church in Sacramento, California. I've been there a number of times. It's one of the coolest churches on the planet. It is absolutely rooted and grounded in the ministry of apologetics. Tell us about it.
Well, Hank, thanks to your ministry through the Christian Research Institute, as well as our pastor, Dr. Ephraim Williams, we were exposed to apologetics by accident in street witnessing and in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the streets. We ran into Mormons, we ran into Jehovah's Witnesses, so we were forced to go back and to find out what the truth is. And in reading scriptures and doing research, and through Christian Research Institute, we were able to ascertain and gain the pure milk of the word that we may go back and refute the erroneous doctrines and to stand up for the defense of the gospel.
You're a full-time staff minister in a local church. Talk for a moment about an article that you wrote for the Christian Research Journal, The Need for Apologetics in the Local Church. Why does the local church so desperately today need the ministry of apologetics?
One good example, Hank, is the Sunday school department, for example. A lot of churches have Sunday schools. And one year, we found out that there was an instructor who was using the New World Translation instead of the Bible. And without our apologetic sensitivity to sound doctrine and to delineate what's true and what's not true, a lot of churches would never pay attention to it. So we saw that as very important, that if we're going to raise up new converts, if we're going to groom and disciple them, it's important that we give them the true nourishment and not something that's going to hinder them in the future. So we believe that every church should have an apologetic foundation, because it's built on sound doctrine. It's built on a firm foundation. And as Scripture tells us, that if we don't stand on the truth, then we do ourselves harm spiritually as well as physically.
I talked about the need for apologetics as both pre-evangelism and post-evangelism. Pre-evangelism, God using our well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity for sharing the gospel, and post-evangelism, in that all of us are threatened from time to time by winds and waves of doubt. And you can go back to those pillars or posts. God created the universe. Jesus Christ is God. The Bible's divine rather than merely human in origin. Speak for a moment about how you have seen the fruit of both pre-evangelism and post-evangelism in your life and ministry.
We've been able to really have a thriving apologetic ministry at this church. When we first started out, it was just a few of us, but as the years went on, the Lord added and multiplied. And the main reason why people are excited here about apologetics is because it's making a personal difference in everybody's lives. We've been able to develop a youth apologetic class that our youth may be able to go back to school and stand on the firm word, and they come back excited. We've been able to answer questions, whether it's straightforward or paradoxical, and people have been able to go back and share with other people of different faiths. So we receive a lot of inquiries about what does the Bible say about this, what does the Bible say about that. And because our group, and because God has been faithful to us, we've been able to really supply that information, especially through organizations like yourself, and point people back to the Bible and tell them exactly what the Word is saying and what the Word is not saying. But it's really gratifying when we have, for instance, a music department who are not just going about singing songs, but they're checking in with us to make sure that the certain lyrics are doctrinal. And so when we see things like that, and even ministers who come to us and want us to proof some of their sermons, we see God working. And that's what a church is supposed to do, is to make sure that we don't move too far to the right nor move too far to the left.
What do you say, Perseus, to people in our culture who so often think that doctrine, the doctrine that you just spoke of, is a dirty word? Let's just all love in Jesus, forget about doctrine.
Well, the thing about truth is that truth is that which corresponds to his object. So Jesus said he's the truth. So if we don't love truth, if we don't stand on the doctrine that he said to stand on, then we're not pleasing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can't have multiple truths when we're talking about the same thing at the same time. So something has to be authentic. And how would we know what false is if we never know what truth is?
Have you found out in your own life and ministry at St. Paul's Baptist Church in Sacramento, California, that apologetics is something for everyone, or are there just a few elite people in the church that can attain to apologetics? Or again, is it something that everyone can attain to?
It's something that everyone can attain. And the Lord revealed this phrase to me, that we want to take the information that many Christians get from the ivory towers of seminaries and bring it down to the steeple towers of the church.
Beautiful, beautiful. You wrote in the article in the Christian Research Journal, again, the article is titled The Need for Apologetics in the Local Church, but you write that 51% of Christian college enrollees deny their faith upon graduating. Now, we're hearing these statistics that 70% of kids are walking away from the church, and you're pointing out a fantastic, documentable statistic. Fantastic, not in the sense of good, but fantastic in the sense of alarming. 51%
yes.
of Christian college enrollees deny their faith upon graduating. Why?
One of the problems that we have in the churches, Hank, is that we are being distracted by things that have very little to do with what Christ asked us to do. And our children and youth are growing up religious without developing an authentic relationship with Christ. And part of that relationship means that we ought to know who the authentic Jesus is. And if they're not able to give a reasonable answer, and if they're not able to know why they're Christians and what Christianity teaches, then when they go to school and when they step on the campuses, they are easily influenced by people of other faith who have stronger arguments, so it seems, and they are intimidated. So now in my personal experience in dealing with our youth here, that was one of the things that we had to deal with. And that's why we implemented a class based on Paul Little's book, Know Why You Believe and Know What You Believe. And we made sure that these youth went through the training and they were able to give a reason for the hope that lies within them.
We're going to spend a few moments more with Perseus Poku, and then we'll go to our callers. Perseus, tell me about something you write about in the article in the Christian Research Journal. You didn't just study in the ivory tower. You actually put on your shoes, along with other members of St. Paul's Missionary Baptist Church in Sacramento, California, and you visited mosques, kingdom halls, etc., so that you could really know what you were doing, what you were encountering, and why apologetics was so necessary.
Yes, we thought that it would be important for us not just to read about what these other cults or the organizations believe, but we thought it would enhance our knowledge to get firsthand testimony from them on why they believe what they believe. So as part of the training for our street witnessing, we made it a point to make an appointment with the Kingdom Hall, with the Jehovah's Witnesses, with the Nation of Islam mosques, and we went and talked to their leaders and tried to reason with them, just as Paul did in the synagogues in Acts. And in that interaction, through that exchange, the Holy Spirit really emboldened us and helped us to realize that we were blessed to be sober-minded versus those who were lost and drunk in their ways.
Perseus, as you well know, we cannot change anybody's heart. Only the Holy Spirit does that. But talk to our audience for just a moment about the incredible excitement of having the Holy Spirit move through you in the process of taking a lost son or daughter of Adam from cultism to the cross.
It's been, it's always a blessing when you see God moving through the lives of his saints to bless the world. There was one experience we had while we were street witnessing. There was an Asian family with children, and they couldn't speak English. And we got there, and they believed in Buddhism, and it was lost in translation, but one of the children knew English, and we were able to articulate what the Word of God was saying, and through our prayers and through the message on that day in the streets, the whole family joined us together in a circle, and we led them to Christ. So when we experience and witness the Holy Spirit moving in that way, it really helps us to see that Jesus is still on the throne. The Holy Spirit, He's still God the Spirit, and there's still a lot of work to do, but God is able to save and break yokes.
Perseus, it's always nice to talk to you. I look forward to seeing you again in the near future, my friend.
Likewise. Thank you, Hank.
God bless you, and thank you so much for the article you wrote for the Christian Research Journal, The Need for Apologetics in the Local Church. Just one more reason to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion online at equip.org. When you write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI right after the break, we'll be back at you with your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. When you dial 888-ASK-HANK, see you in just a moment with answers to your questions.
To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Don't wait. Start your subscription today. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flipchart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his thousand-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos. videos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI. Has God spoken? Muslims say the Quran is the Word of God, and likewise, Mormons claim the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or has God spoken through the Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled "Has God Spoken?" definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of "Has God Spoken?" on audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we're going to go right to our callers now. So many calling in throughout the United States and Canada. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. We'll go to Pete. He's listening in Berkeley, California. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I wanted to tell you, first of all, when your book, The Apocalypse Code, first came out, I got it, and I'm not sure why I got it at the time. I actually didn't read any kind of nonfiction at all. And when I got it, the patterns of my life were really changed as far as getting really involved in studying. And I just wanted to let people kind of know that even though that book appears to be about revelation, that it really is about sort of teaching us how to use and read the Bible. And it was such a helpful tool to me in that respect.
Well, thank you for saying that, because that is bingo. It's right on target. That's what that book is all about, is learning to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Yeah, and my question today was, you often use a great phrase that goes something like, if we respond to the light we're given, then we're given more light, or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, kind of, if you could point me to Scripture. I'm putting together a little study and wanted to know if there was multiple Scriptures that comes from, or is that just a Romans 1 type thing?
Well, it comes from multiple Scriptures, but the point is that we have an outer light, which is creation. And Romans 1 makes that clear, that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. This same idea is communicated in Psalm 19. In fact, those very words are used by the psalmist.
Right.
It's also communicated in passages like Acts 14 and Acts 17. Acts 17, where Paul at the Areopagus is saying that God, who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And then he says, he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Mm-hmm. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the time set for them, the exact places where they should live, and did that so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Why is he not far from each one of us? Well, we have that inner light. So there's an outer light, which is the creation, an inner light, God's knowledge written upon the canvas of our consciousness. Now, that light is general revelation that drives us ultimately to special revelation, and that special revelation is Christ. And that special revelation can come to us from the Word of God, or it could come to us directly from God, as occurred with the Saul on the road to Damascus when he was transformed from Saul to Paul.
Okay, great. Thank you. That answers my question. Do you have time for one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
A quick one. I often come across people teaching about something they call prayer bowls, and this seems a little bit fishy to me.
Uh-huh.
And have you heard about this before?
I'm not familiar with prayer
it's
bowls.
It's this idea that that sort of each prayer has sort of like a bowl of a designated size, and sort of that bowl has to be filled. And then when that bowl is finally filled by a quantitative amount of prayers, then the prayer is answered. And oftentimes I think that Revelation 8:4 is used.
Yeah, that's just nonsense. In fact, it's sort of a magical, isn't it? It's a magical way of looking at prayer, as though God is capricious.
Right.
You've got to find this formula or fill the bowl, and then once you've done that, I'll answer your prayer. That's not how you treat your kids. It's not how I treat my kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how God treats his kids. When we as followers of the Lamb, when we follow our Heavenly Father, when we fall in love with Jesus Christ, when we fall in love with the Holy Spirit, God answers our prayers according to his love for us. Just as we respond to children, not because they're begging us or use the right formula to get through to us, that's manipulation. We respond to them because we love them, and that's what prayer is. Prayer is building a relationship with the lover of your soul out of which everything else flows. It flows out of that relationship.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for answering both of those questions.
You got it. And, of course, it's pretty funny when you look at 8:4, where you have the seventh seal and the golden censer and thinking somehow or other that has to do with a bowl of prayer. That's hardly the interpretation. That's the antithesis of reading the Bible for all it's worth. Let's go right back to the phone lines and talk to Richard. He's listening in Naples, Maine. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
Good, how are you?
Good. My question was, I was wondering if I'm interpreting the book of Revelation correctly. And, I've been reading through... I've read through Revelation, and I've been reading through the Old Testament prophets. And I know through reading the Old Testament prophets, it has to do with judgment on Israel and Judah through the Babylonian empires and the Assyrian empires. And then it goes into judgment on the other nations. But when I read Revelation in the Old Testament, I find a lot of the same language in Revelation as I do in the Old Testament prophets. And so my take on it is I've heard the desolation. I can't pronounce it.
Desolation?
No. It's a
Dispensationalism.
Yeah, that's
it. Yes.
When I read Revelation, I don't see it as being all future. When I see it, it seems to me it's like it's a book written to people who are going through persecution, and they're told to persevere through the trials and temptations, and then it goes on to talk about judgment on the unfaithful and judgment on the beast and
yeah.
False prophet. So I don't see it. When I look at it, when I interpret it in the first century, I kind of understand it more. But when I look at it at a future, as all future, then it seems like any interpretation goes with it.
Right, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. Would Christ have derided a first-century bride saying, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, when the you he has in mind is the 21st century? No, of
right.
course not. It is credible to suppose that our Lord was informing a suffering first century church, not a 21st century church. Revelation isn't a mere book of riddles originating from a shallow post-Christian mind. It's a book of symbols deeply rooted in Old Testament history, precisely as you have just communicated. And we mistake the meaning when we fail to hear the background music of the Old Testament. The letters of Christ to his persecuted bride utilize images deeply embedded in the language of the Bible. And in the same way, the judgment of Christ against a prostituted bride is written on seven sealed scroll. It's announced with seven trumpets. It depicts seven plagues. And this finds its referent in the history of the Old Testament scriptures. Look, the pattern of sevenfold judgment against unfaithfulness on the part of Israel is spelled out in dreadful detail in Leviticus. Four times there, God tells his covenant people, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. And in like fashion, the imagery of sevenfold judgment against apostate Israel is unveiled on four occasions in the book of Revelation. And the pronouncement of judgment for unfaithfulness in the seven churches is followed by the judgments of the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. So what's going on is John has written seven churches to seven he's written letters to seven churches in the province of Asia. They're going to experience the full fury of a beast and a woman that rides the beast. And if they're faithful, they're going to suffer for 10 days, but their vindication is going to be for 1,000 years. It's going to be an eternal vindication. So in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John is writing about something that's going to happen in the far future. He's also talking, of course, about the final future, because he's talking about the eschaton in which they are going to experience eternal vindication. So just as Romans is written to Roman believers and Corinthians to Corinthian believers, Revelation is written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They were demanded to say Caesar is Lord. Instead, the book of Revelation encourages them to say, no, Jesus is Lord, to be faithful and fruitful, and they would serve with that Lord in the resurrection for all eternity.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Because I've heard a lot of times saying, like in Matthew 24, a lot of people refer that to the end of the world. But it seems to me what's being communicated is, and before Jesus was saying, I tell you, not one stone will be left here that won't be cast down. And then the disciples come and ask, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of this age? It sounds to me he was asking, when will the destruction of the temple be?
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what's going on there. And for those who put a gap between Matthew 24:2 and Matthew 24:4, they're imposing something on the scripture that the scripture isn't telling them at all. It's talking about the destruction that's going to take place in Jerusalem, and therefore, when someone says that Jesus, when he says, "I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened," that this does not mean this, it means that generation in the 21st century, they're putting words in the mouth of the Savior. But worse than that, from the standpoint of apologetics, what they're doing is giving the skeptic an opportunity to say that Jesus Christ is a false apocalyptic prophet, which is what Bart Ehrman is doing. He's teaching his students and his followers by blog and book. He's teaching them Jesus is a false prophet. Why? Because according to this passage, Jesus believed that he would come within a generation in the second coming. Well, he's mistaken the meaning of the passage because he doesn't understand that the sun, moon, and stars talked about in 24:29 have the referent in the Old Testament history, precisely as you've just said. We'll be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered countless questions over the years on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and that's why he's developed the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, to equip you to be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have within you. Many of the questions we receive on the broadcast concern the end times, and that's why Hank has also written the Apocalypse Code, a tool to help you not only understand the book of Revelation, but the entire Bible as a synergistic whole.
For your generous gift of $100 or more, Hank would like to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition or the Apocalypse Code as a means of equipping you and furthering the ministry of CRI. To partner with us, just call 888-7000-274 or log on to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back after this. Has God spoken? Muslims say the Quran is the Word of God, and likewise, Mormons claim the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or has God spoken through the Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled, Has God Spoken?, definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of Has God Spoken? On audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. It's not too much to say that truth is under siege in the postmodern world. So often, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. Conversely, those who see truth as objective and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ are considered intolerant or even arrogant. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. Now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right now there is a CD It's titled, Has God Spoken? If there's a more significant question, I'm wholly unaware of what that question might be. Muslims answer by pointing to the Quran as God's only credible, uncorrupted revelation. Mormons are certain that God has spoken through a revelation called the Book of Mormon. Joseph Smith called that book the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to the Mormon religion. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or has God spoken through the Holy Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to that question is essential in defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of the ministry, I want to equip you with the wisdom to answer that question decisively. And of course, to remember the answer so you can use it for a lifetime. Has God Spoken, the CD, available now through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute? For your gift, we'll send you a copy or copies so that you can make a difference while there's yet time. You can order, as Randy just mentioned, online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Russell, listening in St. Louis, Missouri, on the World Wide Web. Hi, Russell.
How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Try to get right to the point so I don't capitalize too much time here. Want to know your thoughts on Mike Bickle and the IHOP community.
No, I wrote a book that includes Mike Bickle. It's called Counterfeit Revival, and that should give you a little clue on what I think about Michael Bickle and his ministry. You know, here's a guy that seems to think that he knows when Jesus Christ is coming back again. He says that we are living in the generation of Jesus' second coming. And as a result of that, preaches that as God raised up John the Baptist to be a forerunner, preparing his generation for Christ's first coming, God is now raising up an elite end-time forerunner movement within the church. And, of course, he's part of that.
Right.
And he's making statements that are absolutely unbelievable, including the envisionment that the forerunner church is going to have an advanced apostolic movement, and they will experience greater things than the apostles themselves. And as outrageous as that sounds, you should hear him talking about that with Bob Jones. In other words, he's actually talking about something that a prophet that he extols says, and he's affirming it. Here's Mike Bickle talking about Bob Jones and a prophecy of what's going to happen in the end times. And these are the end times in his view.
Paul was anxious to talk to the end time apostles and prophets more than the end time apostles and prophets would have been to talk to Paul. He said because what they would do would go far greater in the glory of God.
Amen.
And the saints in the New Testament would wait in line to greet the apostles coming from this generation.
So think about that for a moment. In Mike Bickle's world, the apostles and his forerunner movement are going to be so mighty and great. Talk about ego.
Yeah.
The apostle Paul, Peter, Abraham, Moses, they're going to wait in a line to get his autograph.
So if I've got the history correct, I understand, I guess, going down the line, and correct me if I'm wrong, kind of stems from William Branham and the Latter Rain movement, John Wimber and the Vineyard churches, and then you mentioned Bob Jones and Paul Kane. Are any of these names legit?
None.
What about, I've been looking into...
And all of them, by the way, are written about in Counterfeit Revival.
Okay. So help me with one thing, and would love your insight on this. I have friends in this IHOP circle that are near and dear to me, and have had a lot of opportunity to have these discussions. And I've looked into a lot of what you were saying and agree and figured that this would pretty much be your response. The one thing that I'm struggling with, and being in the community and seeing the things that are happening there, these signs and wonders and healings, and I'm struggling with if in fact these signs and wonders and healings are happening, How?
Well, I can tell you they're not.
Okay.
And here's the reason for saying that. I've been researching this for over 20 years.
Okay.
And I find that miracles are conspicuous by their absence in these movements. These people are claiming miracles, but you tell me where they can point to a single resurrection from the dead, though claimed and saying that there are going to be multiple resurrections. Hospitals are going to be emptied out. Cemeteries are going to be emptied out. Where do you actually see someone being raised from the dead? Where do you find a man that has an amputated leg suddenly have a new leg? Where do you find a single bald-headed man with a new head of hair? I mean, you just don't see that.
They're making these claims that these things are happening?
Well, these are the kinds of miracles you would expect to see if miracles were really happening. In other words, they should be obvious. You think Jesus is just going to be healing people with a sore back?
Understood.
You should see organic miracles. You should see toupees laying on the altar. Miracles are not taking place. In fact, I took one of the best known of these counterfeit revivalists who claimed thousands of miracles, and I said, I can't deal with thousands or even millions. Just give me three. We checked out all three, and all three, and these were miracles that he chose, all three were bogus.
Okay.
So, no, can God heal? Absolutely. Can God heal in spite of false prophets? Absolutely.
Right.
But I'm saying that healing is conspicuous by its absence, and if healing were really taking place, you would see organic miracles taking place, but you don't.
So in closing, would you say that this is just poor theology and allegorical sensationalism, or is this a cult?
Well, it starts with an inability to read the Bible for all it's worth. I don't want to use the word cult, and here's the reason. Cult is a very sociologically charged word in our culture. So I want to be very careful that I don't want to say that it's a cult from a sociological perspective, because I don't know that.
Okay.
I do say it is a cult from a theological perspective in that they compromise, confuse essential Christian doctrine, and they don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. I point this out in Counterfeit Revival. Now, I cannot judge anyone's heart. That's the province of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But I can test their teachings, and their teachings run contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. So at best, they're confused in terms of reading the Bible. At worst, they're deluded. I mean, if you're thinking that Abraham, Moses, and the Apostle Paul are going to stand in a line to greet you and get your autograph, I think you're deluded.
Right. Well, hey, thank you for your time. I sincerely appreciate it.
We did an article on this in the Christian Research Journal. If you want to hang on, I can get it out to you.
Yes, please.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Ben. Ben is listening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Ben.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm introducing you to my wife. I've been following your ministry for over 10 years, and it's been a real blessing to me. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
Well, I have my question. I think I told the guy I was talking to before this. Has to do with what's the essential constitution of what makes a marriage? Or in other words, at what point through all the process that generally goes through a marriage, would a couple be accountable before God as living as man and wife?
Yeah, well, there are four things, and actually they're delineated in an article that appeared in the Christian Research Journal that I think is extraordinarily helpful. But the four things are spiritual partnership and mutual edification. And you see that in Genesis 2, Ephesians 5, and 1 Peter 3. Secondly, you have the procreation of children and the nurture of the human family, which again is delineated in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. The third principle or covenant basis of a marriage would be development of spiritual and physical intimacy. And the fourth is protection against immorality and sexual temptation. Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Thessalonians 4, etc. So I think those are the four covenant purposes of marriage, very cleanly and biblically delineated.
I hear you. And I have a clarifying question, if I may. It seems like, well, at least in one of those things, when it comes to the, you know, the propagation and filling the commission to fill the earth and such, that there are some people who are, you know, very legitimately married, but yet cannot do that particular thing. Right. So I mean, so it seems like that would not be something. Well, it's something that you should do if you can. It would not be something that is essential that makes you married.
No, right? Because, but it's a purpose for marriage. But within that purpose, God opens and closes the womb.
Right.
If you're married to a quadriplegic and you cannot have sexual intercourse, that does not in any way nullify the marriage. Right. So the covenant purposes of marriage at the end of the day is spiritual partnership and mutual edification that leads to all kinds of things. But, you know, I'm still walking with the Lord even if I don't have feet. The relationship is still one of intimacy and trust and mutual edification. So when you say to a woman that you're marrying her for better or worse, in sickness and in health, until death do you part, you're making a commitment to emotional, spiritual, and physical intimacy. How that's carried out differs from relationship to relationship, depending on the circumstances and the physical and emotional characteristics that people have.
Well, I agree. I think maybe perhaps I missed the question. Was that and here, a little context, if I may, is that the a friend of mine is Catholic, and she says that she can get an annulment if she's not consummated the marriage. Another friend of mine is kind of Pentecostal, and he says that he's married as soon as they consummate, regardless of vows. And
you make a vow before God and man, and then you consummate the marriage. The vow before God and man is still a vow that you are making. And so you can't use a cheap trick to dissolve a marriage when it's not dissolved in the eyes of the Lord. I wish I could say more about that, but I'm hurried out of time. I'm going to stay here for an extra hour. I'll continue answering questions. If you want to get your question answered during the next hour, here's the number to dial right now, 888-ASK-HANK. If you're hanging on, be patient. If you're dialing in, remember the number, 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
It's our prayer that today's show has touched you in a special way. To successfully defend the historic faith and be equipped as a light in this too often dark world, you need CRI's award-winning publication, Christian Research Journal, which probes today's religious movements, promotes doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and provides reason for Christian faith and ethics. Subscribe online on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. The Christian Research Institute exists because truth matters. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenim series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenim Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program, and we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. Our passion and purpose is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults,
culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program has ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271.